And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, by the way, we're going to shift gears here in a minute. We're going to go to the RNC being one for the ages. But let me remind you guys, for the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors on the show, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Did you know that some of the most popular companies that are out there for people to invest in as part of their portfolio may be aligned with things that don't even at all represent biblical principles? I mean, like, you may be finding out, if you look at it, that you're investing in companies that support abortion, pornography, human trafficking, to name a few. So Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are specialists in the field of what we call biblically responsible investing, or BRI. So Paul and Inspire Advisors, they would love to offer you a free consultation just to help you figure out what's in your portfolio and maybe offer you some biblically aligned alternatives. Listen, you learn more about BRI, all you got to do is contact Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors today. And the quickest way to do that is go to our website. There's no cost. There's no obligation. It's a free opportunity. They will not try to rope you in. But the bottom line is you'll never know unless you look. And the way to do it is go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Right Side Radio portion. You'll find the sponsors. Go over there, get to their logo, and just click on it. It takes you right to their website. It's too easy, man. I'm saying, go check out Inspire Advisors. It's like conservative, it's godly, it's balanced, it's financial freedom, to be honest. Inspire Advisors. You can find them for sure, and I think you're going to want to see it. All right, listen, I'm jumping into a new dipper, all right? So the RNC that we just had, whew. Now listen, I was texting back and forth with my buddy Jeff Poor, who comes on the show all the time, and I realized he was calling in Wednesday. And I wondered if he was up there. And I said, Jeff, are you at the RNC? He goes, no, it's the first one I've missed since 2000. I thought, wow. I told Charlene that I'm watching this thing and I find myself wanting to be there. I mean, this was one to be at, right? I don't often do that. I mean, I don't often look at something and go, oh man, I wish I was there. But like I've seen like major patriotic events and gone, oh man, that would have been cool to be there. Like when Trump spoke in front of Mount Rushmore, they had the giant flyover. I think they had a stealth bomber flyover followed by fireworks. And how cool was that? Or, there'd be the occasional Super Bowl or like an Iron Bowl where I wish I'd been there for that. But I would love to have been, I don't want to say I was jealous, but I would love to have been at the events this week. Because watching it on TV, it was history, in my opinion. It was history, but it was enjoyable. It was a hoot to watch. So let's talk about a few things that happened last night. Big Rig and I both watched the speech. There were several highlights. I pulled up one list of some of the highlights to help me remember what all I saw. But I'll tell you, it was not Trump Unchained. I felt like it was a little bit of Trump sort of resolved, like he was Mr. Steady State. I think he realized the importance of his moment. I think he realized he needed to rise to the occasion. So the visual of him standing there with that bandage on the side of his head is something that's going to be in history for a long time. But one of the first things he did when he got up there, I don't know if you saw it or not, but when he was shot the other day, there were three other individuals that were actually shot that we know of. Two were hospitalized, and he said last night they're recovering and they're going to be fine, which the crowd went bananas over it. But we had one man named Corey Comparatore, I believe his name is, and I hope I said it right, who was killed, a retired fire chief. And so as Trump is coming on the stage to what can only be described as like a rock star entrance, you had two firemen as an honor guard escorting out, I don't want to say it, more like a almost like a mannequin kind of thing, but it had Corey Comparatore's turnout gear on it. Had his fireman's helmet and his turnout jacket with his name and the city on it. I thought that was the right thing to do, man. That was so classy. That was Trump sharing the stage with someone else, if you get down to it. That was Trump sharing his moment with the family of the grieving who had just lost their husband, their father. He was basically making sure that the crowd at the RNC knew that he was fully aware that there was sacrifice involved in his ability to even be there last night. That was classy. That was good. And he honored him during his speech. He talked about what a great man he had been and how he'd spoken to the family. He'd spoken to all three of the families. He said this about him. He said, Corey was a highly respected former fire chief, accompanied by his wife, Helen, two precious daughters. And he lost his life selflessly acting as a human shield, trying to protect them from flying bullets. What a fine man he was. So what a great way to start off the speech. And of course, the crowd is just in the moment with him. But then you can tell he had to address the elephant in the room, right? No pun intended. He had to spend some time talking about the assassination attempt. He couldn't stand there with a bandage on his head and compare Tory's, jacket hanging just to his right. He couldn't stand there on that stage and not spend some time talking about the actual assassination attempt. And he said, I'm going to tell the story, but I'm just going to tell it once. In other words, this is not something he wants to relive in the public sphere a whole lot. Now, if you've ever been shot at or shot, you realize there's something there that not everybody will cotton to or understand. You also recognize what it means to be given the chance to go past it and do other things. And I think Trump gets that. Trump realized how precious it was that he was actually there last night. It was significant. Now listen, I saw a video yesterday, and I believe it's real. There's so much out there with AI right now. You go, oh my gosh, I don't know. But I believe this is real. And it was someone had zoomed in from another camera from an angle that we hadn't seen, looking straight at the right side of Trump's head. I showed it to Big Rig during the studio. And you can see as the bullet pierced his ear. It does not get any closer than that. I mean, he doesn't have big, flappy ears. I mean, this was up again. Basically, he was millimeters away from dying. That video, which is on social media, shows the moment. You can barely, there's like a flash of something going across the screen, but then you see the hole open up in his head and the ear react to it, and then you see his face begin to squint. It's just incredible to watch. Trump, in his speech last night, he appreciated the gravity of the moment, and he began to tell the story. And at one point he says, I moved my right hand to my ear. I brought it down, and my hand was covered in blood, just blood all over the place. I knew that we were under attack. He said, but in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. He went on to say, the amazing thing is that prior to the shot, if I had not moved my head at the very last instant, the assassin's bullet would have perfectly hit its mark, and I would not be with you tonight. Listen, I know that feeling. I had a situation, I won't spend a lot of my time talking about mine, but I had a situation in Baghdad where we literally changed our route, and no one could explain later on why we chose to change it, only to have a massive car bomb go off where we were supposed to have been, but we had diverted at the last minute. When you realize you've been given a providential moment to escape that level of injury or death, it's a galvanizing moment. It's a changing moment. I think Trump got it. He went on to say this. He said, if I had not moved my head at the very last instant, the assassin's bullet would have perfectly hit its mark and I would not be with you tonight. But then he also said, when he stood up, he saw the crowd, and he said he was taken aback, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but he said he was taken aback by the fact that the crowd, I mean, nobody ran. It was so obvious shots were fired. It was so obvious there were multiple shots fired. There were people, at the very least, in the stands behind him who had people dead and dying right next to them. Blood was on the ground. The Secret Service is throwing him down and guarding him. You can see guns coming out. It was a moment. And you would think in that particular moment, there would be a bit of pandemonium. But I remember watching, too, if you look at the video, there's one of those salty old veteran, like, to Trump's left rear on the stage wearing a maroon shirt, who got up and, oh boy, was bowed up looking for a target. And I told Charlene, I said, look at old boy on the screen right there. He's ready to go whip somebody. But that's the way the whole crowd was. And Trump said he saw that. He saw it, and it took him aback. He said many of them bravely, this is his words, many of them bravely but automatically stood up looking for where the sniper would be, and they began pointing at him. But he said, but I also recognized how concerned they were for me, him talking. He said, you could see love written all over their faces. And then he said, I'm not supposed to be here tonight. At which point, the crowd at the RNC began shouting back and chanting, yes, you are. Y'all, that was one of those, you can't manufacture that moment. You can't manufacture this story. There's no AI, there's no script writer, there's no speech, there's no nothing that can generate what that particular moment in the speech was. It was one for the ages, I'm telling you. I'll finish up just by talking about his speech. I love the fact that at one point he honored his wife. Melania was there last night. I did not know this, and I got to find it, but apparently she wrote an open letter to America the other day. Have you seen it, Big Rig? I've not seen it. I need to find it. An open letter to America from Melania, and he talked about who he referred to as his amazing wife, honored that she was there, and that she had written a letter to America in which she called for unity in the wake of the assassination attempt against her own husband. And she said, apparently in her letter, she said, I am thinking of you now, my fellow Americans. Dawn is here again. Let us reunite now. That's amazing. And he bragged on his wife and he loved on her. And then he brought out the chart that had been up on the screens when he was shot. He said, last time I put this chart up, I never really got to look at it. He said, but without that chart, I wouldn't be here today. And then the last thing was, and I noticed this, he kept talking about that other guy, the one I'm running against, the man in the office. He finally said his name once, and you can tell he hadn't meant to. And he even said, okay, I'm only going to use the name once, Biden, but I'm not going to use the name anymore, just one time. In other words, but here's the thing. Here's what that meant. Number one, he wasn't going to start crediting Biden or bashing Biden, but the other thing was he wasn't going to spend his entire time talking about the other guy. He was going to spend the entire time talking about where we are and where we're going. And how grateful he was for the opportunity. I thought that was cool. I thought it was a great speech. It was one of his better moments in all of his life in the public arena. You know, he's got his own style. He's got his own way of speaking. He's got his own mannerisms. He's decidedly his own person. But I thought that was everybody's speech. I thought it was worthwhile. All right, Big Rig, let's take a break, brother. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper, the RNC for the ages. Y'all stay tuned. I got more of this. We will be right, and we will be back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So this dipper I'm in right now, the RNC for the ages, there were so many moving parts. It was whoever put this together did an amazing job, and they should get a raise. Every single night, but I tell you one of the things, there's a couple more impressions that I had out of Trump's speech. Big Rig, you may have noticed this. Did you notice the backdrop that came down behind him? It's like he was superimposed against the White House, like he was speaking from the White House. How cool was that? I mean, that was
cool.
That was way cool. So it was, the subliminal there was, he is the president. I mean, he was speaking, yeah. It's like he was speaking from the White House. Squared away, man. Whoever did the stage, you know, presentation, spot on.
I thought it was perfect.
It was perfect, and it also was bright. It was clean. It was bright. It. I don't know if y'all remember. When was this? Was it last year when Biden? Did you see that Biden gave the speech in front of that weird, eerie red and black backdrop, and it just looked scary. Like he
I don't
was,
know if I saw that one.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna pull up the images for you because you got to see it. All right, but several things happened last night. I said this is one for the ages. Well, Democrats know it too. Don't think that they don't. CNN's Van Jones has been very candid. Van Jones, He notoriously can't control himself. He has said several things in the past, you know, about what do you call it? When Trump won in 2016, he called it white lash, not backlash, but white lash. It was white people getting uppity. Okay, Van Jones. But he said two things this week that were pretty significant. If you remember just the other day when Trump announced he had COVID, it was Van Jones on CNN who said a bullet didn't stop Donald Trump, but a little virus just stopped Joe Biden. Oh, wow. Van Jones again, though, last night was talking about the election. He's sitting here, He's watching this happen before him. He sees the energy. He can sense what's happening. And do you remember back in 2008, those of y'all that have been politicos for a while, back in 2008 when Barack Obama was running, there was, and I'll be honest with you, it was irritating to watch that much excitement and enthusiasm on the other side because it wasn't my team, but you could tell they had it going on. And remember Chris Matthews on, what was he on, CNN back then? Chris Matthews said that he watched the speech by Barack Obama and it put a thrill up his leg. Okay, I don't think any man should ever say that in public, but he said it. Chris Matthews talking about Barack Obama putting a thrill up his leg. Van Jones said he has not seen this level of energy since that 2008 Democrat National Convention. Ah, well, that's significant. Now, immediately his co-anchors began to try and talk him off the ledge. Oh, hang on now. You just wrote a headline. And you certainly did, Mr. Jones. David Axelrod jumps in. Yeah, but 2008, I mean, Obama was popular outside of his own party, too. Look at the polls now, David Axelrod. But that's where they are. They can see it. More stuff happened last night. I mean, what a lineup. So last night alone, just last night, I'm looking at the lineup. We had, among others, because there were a whole bunch of speakers, but among others, we had Mike Pompeo, Tucker Carlson, who I'll play you a clip from later, Hulk Hogan, of all things, Franklin Graham, Eric Trump, and then we had Kid Rock come out and sing, and then we had Dana White, CEO of UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship. It was incredible. The theme for last night, by the way, was Make America Great Once Again. Great messaging. Stay on point. Don't lose MAGA because it works. But I guess we're MAGAO to some degree. MAGAO, Make America Great Once Again, because what they're saying is we were great under Trump. We're going to be great once again. And then we come back from this break. I'll wrap this up telling you about Franklin Graham. How cool was that? And a few other pieces, parts. And they'll take some text messages. And then we're going to move to the end of this show where I've got to talk to you about some Project 2025. Oh, yeah. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Friday. We're going to get you all the way to go home time. And in the meantime, let's take a few text messages and then I'll jump back into the dipper and wrap up this topic. Marshall from Dubai, he sent me, a meme? Ooh. Joey and Kamala still refusing to give up the White House. Yeah, that's pretty freaky. Kim from Athens says, vote like we're 10 points down. Yes, there it is. Thank you, Kim. Thank you very much. Penny from Boaz says, so how would they be able to use money that's sitting in a PAC that was put there for Biden if Biden's no longer there? Guy, does the money go back to the people that donated? You know what? I'd have to go back and look at campaign finance law because there are laws that govern this. But I think once it's been given, it can't be given back. But it does have to be used for the purposes for which it was designed, unless those purposes are no longer feasible. Meaning, I think, if there are funds given to a PAC that are not used in that campaign cycle, they might be able to be designated for something in the next cycle. But if the candidate still exists, they got to go to the candidate. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. The fact that we're having to talk about this at all,
I mean, this is not like we're last fall and someone finally realized we got a bad thing going on and let's get there before the primary votes and let's fix this. No, they've already voted. And he's not dead. He's just considered to be diminished. I'm not minimizing that. I'm just saying he's diminished and they knew it all along. So now they want to switch him out, even though they had everybody vote on him. It's been a litany of lies. Clint from Tony, Alabama says, when God's hand influences an event or an action in this dimension, it is palpable and immediately recognizable by everyone present. And apparently by everyone watching on television as well. Thank God for intervention and provision. Great show as always, Phil. Clint from Tony. Clint, perfect text. And tell you what, I'm going to grab that text and go straight to one of the articles I've got sitting here. Because last night, one of the things I really appreciated was in all the hoopla, one of the speakers on the main event night, towards the end of the main event, was Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham, who makes no bones about it. I mean, he does not even pretend. He is willing to state politics. He is willing to talk Jesus at the same time. So, piece here on Red State, and it, by the way, it was one of my favorite moments. He actually called on everybody to stand for a moment of a time of prayer. And Charlene and I actually stood in our living room and watched it and prayed along with it. It was a great moment. And he said some things that I thought brought a great deal of temperance to the moment, brought a great deal of honor to the Lord in the moment, and a great deal of what I would call steady state faith to the moment. Story here on Red State says, after a fun speech by wrestler Hulk Hogan, Billy Graham's the Evangelistic Association president and Samaritan's Purse president, Franklin Graham, shifted the tone with remarks of exhortation and a word of prayer. Graham has been known as a former president, as an active member of former president and GOP nominee Donald Trump's evangelical team. Graham reminded the audience how Trump stood by his word to people of faith as the 45th president and would do so again as the 47th. Graham did say this at one point. He said, I cannot explain why God would save one life and allow another to be taken. I don't have the answer for that. But one thing I do know is that God loves us, and he wants us to be with him in heaven one day, and that's through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, said Franklin Graham, quote, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is on the stage at the RNC. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I am loving that. And then he went on to say, as a matter of assurance and a testimony, he said, for as long as I've known President Trump, I found him to be a man of his word. Things that he said he would do, he did. When he told me in our country in 2016 that he was going to appoint conservative justices, guess what? He did. In 2016, he said he would defend religious liberty, and guess what? He did. In 2019, he says, I was with him at the United Nations. When the first president in the history of this country stood there to advocate for religious liberty worldwide. When American citizen and pastor Andrew Brunson was being held in a Turkish jail on false accusations, President Trump demanded that he be released and he applied economic pressure and sanctions until they did. And then he went on to pray. And he prayed, it was a beautiful prayer. And it was a great moment. It was one of those things where I was proud to be a member of the party watching that happen. Listen, I'm gonna wrap this section up, and I'll tell you what, let me grab a few text messages. Oh, John from Huntsville has a reminder. Don't forget Lee Greenwood, his amazing song, God Bless the USA. Yes, that was awesome last night. That was another moment. And by the way, I think that's the second time he sang at the convention, right? Same song. That I think second only to the national anthem. That's the song right there. God Bless America, the national anthem, and Proud to Be an American. God bless the USA. Paul from Decatur says, I wonder if the DNC, the Republicans, are going to have RuPaul and the It's cast of wannabes as a floor show for entertainment. I don't know. I've wondered the same thing. Who are they going to put up? Are they going to have Drag Queen Story Hour? Is RuPaul going to be? I don't know. It's going to be, I think it's going to be the Democrat National Convention is a combination of the Hunger Games and Awake. that's what I see. It's going to be depressing and it's going to be weird. It's going to be a whole lot of conflicting messages and pointing fingers and then trying to figure out who's in charge and then people being told to get in line, other people saying go take a flying leap. Jeff from Huntsville texted in and says, don't forget Pastor Lorenzo. That guy was on fire. You know, I haven't seen that one. I heard it was great. It's Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. He spoke at 6:39 right before I tuned in. I'd heard it was awesome. All right, listen, there's a lot to be said for this convention, but it was one for the ages. And just so you know, the Biden campaign had things to say about it. Oh, they came out. They came out right away. Jen O'Malley Dillon, who is a campaign spokesperson or chairman, I think. Jen O'Malley Dillon is the campaign chair for Biden. She came out immediately and said, quote, tonight, Donald Trump rambled on for well over an hour and failed to mention Project 2025 even once. He failed to mention how he inflicted pain and cruelty on the women of America. He failed to mention his plan to take over the civil service and to pardon the January 6th insurrectionists. He sought to find problems with America, not provide solutions. But after all, it was Donald Trump who destroyed our economy, whipped away our rights, and failed middle-class families. Now he pursues the presidency with an even more extreme vision for how he wants to take the country. You know, when you can't win, just lie, right? When you got no facts, just make them up. There's an old saying in the practice of law that if you're in court and the law is in your favor, then you argue the law. If the facts are in your favor, then you argue the facts. And if nothing's in your favor, you just bang your hand on the podium and do the best you can. And that's where the Democrats are right now. They don't have a message. They don't have a plan. And they don't even know for sure whether they even have a candidate. It is a complete implosion. In the meantime, the RNC, it was one for the ages. Big Rig, move us to a break, man. We'll take a break a tad earlier. As soon as you got it going, we'll just take it on. I'm just telling you, folks, one for the ages. Made me proud. Made me inspired. But we got to run like a scalded dog. Like we're 10 points behind all the way through the tape. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.